the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding of humankind. Protect our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, our Lord, now and forever. On the service eve of these summer services, we continue quiet and down around the Word of God, asking this, that God would bless His Word for the salvation of the souls of the people and for the thankfulness and glory of His name. I will read for the text from the Gospel of John, 7th chapter, verses 37 and 38. In Jesus' name. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water." Amen. As we heard in the beginning text, there was a feast that lasted for several days. It was the final great day of feast. This is the reference to the third book of Moses, from which we read. We read that God gave through Moses the instruction to build the feast in the hut of the leaves. This celebration, on the other hand, related to the harvest feast, but it was also where they remembered the care of God for the people of Israel, of how God had, there in the wilderness journey, how He gave unto the people, He gave food and drink. At this celebration feast, they had remembered, they had reminisced about the wilderness journey also, how God told Moses to hit the stone with water, to get water, so the people could drink. Here, Jesus studied the people's hearts, and He saw and He knew that in the midst of the feast that there were many people who were not so thirsty for natural water, but there was such a yearning and thirst, of which the psalm writer writes in his psalm, speaks of his own experience as a deer yearns for fresh water. Also my soul desires for you, Lord. My soul thirsts, God, the living God. And Jesus wanted to call these types of people onto Him and to quench their thirst, those who wanted that everlasting water and thirst. He had already spoken earlier to the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob in the city of Sychar. He had offered her also this living water, of which he now offered at this festivity of the leaf hut. The discussion that was with Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob. And during this discussion, Jesus told this woman, "He that drinketh of this well, he will thirst again. He that drinketh of this water that I give, he will not thirst ever, forever. The water I give will become a source of water that flows into eternal life." The Spirit of Christ called those under the Spirit, under the water, even in the Old Covenant time, through the prophets. All thirsty people, come under the water. You who have no money and no price, drink water from the eternal spring. Do not fear my servant Jacob and the righteous that I have selected. I want to give water unto the thirsty and to flow the water onto the dry area. We know this, and we experience this here at these summer services, festivities, the living source of water, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in our midst. He is always there. Where God in his kingdom through is preaching, proclaiming the gospel through the Holy Spirit in his kingdom. Therefore, we rejoice even today that the source, the spring of water for eternity is in our midst today. When Jesus came forth or arose to heaven after 40 days, after resurrection, the water, the living water, did not follow him to heaven, but it was left here upon the earth. Jesus did say and comforted his own at his farewell speech, "I will go away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that the Father sends in my name. It will come upon you." And he says in this way, that Holy Spirit will teach everything unto you that I have taught, and will proclaim and inform you all this, and will remind you of all this of which I have spoken unto you. And he also says this, that this Holy Spirit, it takes from myself and informs you. Here at these summer services, the spring of water, Jesus Christ, is with us through the preached word. And as the brothers preach this word of God and proclaim the gospel, it is not of man. It is not the speech of man, but it is the word and speak of Jesus Christ. It is important to remember always in this matter that in the book of Revelations, as it is said, "He that hath an ear, Hear, listen what the Spirit says unto the congregation. How can a person get from this water, holy water, how can he be a partaker of this water of Jesus Christ? Here in this text, in the second verse, Jesus proclaims, as he says, He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Of this living water, we can be partakers of only through faith. In the synagogue services of Capernaum, Jesus speaks of himself as the living bread. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. There he says, He that cometh unto me he will not be hungry, and he that believeth upon me he shall never be thirsty. This word of God speaks much of faith. It is probably also true that I have read somewhere that this word faith is one of the most general common words in this Bible. In the book of Hebrews, it is defined what faith is. It is a strong trust on that which we hope, and we do not doubt of the unseen. It is also said of faith that it is a gift from God to people. You are saved by faith as a gift from God, Paul says in his letter. And here in the Bible, it has been said, this faith, it is an act and work of God. In the epistle to the Hebrews, he encourages the people there to endeavor in faith. He tells them, look at the beginner and finisher of your faith. Look upon Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is the beginner and the finisher of faith. From this beginning part of this register of the Bible, I have read this kind of definition of faith, which has answered to my spirit. It is good where it is said of faith. It has three parts, three different matters. First, it is the knowledge of this, what must be known to gain salvation. And secondly, not only knowledge that we know what we must do for salvation, but that we keep it as a godly truth. Truth, knowledge, and keeping it as a truth. This kind of faith. There is much faith like this in the world. We know what must be done for salvation, and we keep it as a truth. But according to the Word of God, this kind of faith, it does not save a person. It doesn't give eternal life. We need that third matter, which is related to faith. It is this. It is that faith of the heart and connection to the Holy Spirit and will of God, and to the merit and payment of Jesus Christ, that the repentant person receives. We need the faith of the heart, of which Paul says when he speaks of his own psalm, "I am crucified to the cross with Jesus, but I live, not me, but Christ lives in me. That which I live in my flesh, that I live in the Son of God." The Apostle John, here in this Gospel, on the last part, speaks of this faith of the heart and life when he speaks of, there are many matters, things of which Jesus spoke, that is not written into this Word of God. John says, these are written so that you would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Redeemer of the world, that you would have life through faith and through His name. Paul prays on behalf of the Ephesians that Christ would live in your hearts through faith, and that you would know the love of Christ that goes above all understanding. With this kind of faith, we own that salvation which is acceptable unto God. And once we will get to the glory of heaven, how can a person get this kind of faith? We could say, related to this, we could remember, we can reminisce that discussion of Jesus with Nicodemus in the night. During the night, Nicodemus came unto Jesus to discuss, and he begins that discussion like this: "We know that you are a teacher from God, and nobody does those acts that you have done." We can say this. We can say that Nicodemus did believe. He didn't have some certain kind of faith that was based on knowledge. He had seen and he knew what he had seen. Jesus saw into the heart of Nicodemus and the condition of his heart. And he begins to say, "Truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, that if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God and cannot come into the kingdom." Nicodemus did not understand the talk of Jesus, how a person can go back into the womb of the mother and be born again. Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that is not born of the water and spirit, he cannot come into the kingdom of God." This is not a question of the sacrament of the baptism, but it is of this water. It is of this living water. This living water that Jesus offered to those people there at the celebration, that last celebration day. there at the services at the synagogue, in the synagogue of the Capernaum. When he spoke to the people, to those people who followed Jesus after the feeding of the multitude, they came into the synagogue, and Jesus starts to teach them. Seek not the food that will disappear, but seek that food, that nutrition, that remains forever. And then he says, I am that living bread that came down from heaven to give life unto all the people. And that bread that I give is my flesh that I give unto the people for life. We know and we have read from the Gospel of John chapter 6, that sermon that he kept in the synagogue. Many people were offended. These are strong words. Who can withstand it? How can Jesus, born of Mary and Joseph, give his flesh to be eaten? Jesus had to say to them, does this offend you? It is the spirit that makes you alive. The flesh does not help at all. The word that I speak is spirit and life. Jesus wants to say this, that through the Holy Spirit, the living gospel that is preached is that heavenly bread, that living water that gives life unto people. When Jesus tells Nicodemus of this flesh and spirit, that he cannot come into the kingdom, of this rebirth and being born as a child of God, the Apostle Peter, in his letter, he speaks and says, as he encourages the children of God into brotherly love, he says to them, be in a common love as those who have been reborn, not of the seed, the dying seed, but of the undying seed, of the living word that remains forever. Through the Holy Spirit, the word is preached. This living word of God is the seed that gives birth in the hearts of man, the living faith. As Paul says in his text, that faith cometh through hearing, and the hearing through the word of God. The Apostle James also says that he has given birth, he has given truth through his word. Through this gospel, a person can receive living faith for himself. This is what Jesus spoke at the last festive day at the hut made of leaves. He called the people at the celebration. And to own this faith, to own the faith through the gospel, has been called and is called and proclaimed at these services on the first day here and during all the service days everywhere and throughout. throughout all time, where God proclaims His Word and Spirit through the world. And the proclamation to come and own the living water in the preaching of the gospel unto the salvation of your soul. In Jesus' name and blood, your sins are forgiven. And you, dear friend, travel listener, as you hear in the service tent or at the area, listening to the radio or on the internet, you are listening to this service. You, my friend, you are called the Good Shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ calls you, invites you, that you can own through the gospel the living water, the life of water, the water of life and the bread of life unto the salvation of your soul. When you hear this call, this invitation with your ears, and when you believe this, that will happen which it promises. The same thing that as it happened in the house of Cornelius, as we have already heard at these services, there, during the preaching of Peter, the Holy Spirit sat down upon all the listeners who heard the word in the gospel, that unto you, you my friend, when you receive this in faith, the gospel, God gives a gift of the Holy Spirit into your heart, cleanses your heart with faith, and you can endeavor as a child of God in the congregation of God towards eternal honor and the eternal glory of heaven. I think this, that even someone has come to these services, those travel friends, brothers and sisters that have often felt with me how hungry and how thirst comes as we travel in the wilderness, that many times we become tired and weary, and now we are encouraged that let's travel together to the living spring, what was opened at Golgotha, even for our sake. The innocent blood flows to the final drop. Life that have been bitten by the serpent or snake. The gospel that is preached through the God's Spirit. The precious atonement blood is sprinkled upon us weak, and those children of God that feel weak under their hearts. It is sprinkled into your hearts, brother and sister, even at this moment. In the winds of this world, it wants to refresh your weary heart. It wants to, with the heavenly, wants to moisten your heart with the heavenly moisture. The old Ratama wrote or spoke, what is that wetness or moisture, that lack can make such damage in the person's heart that living faith dies away? And he says, it is that moisture that began on that Thursday before Good Friday that began to flow from Jesus Christ, and there upon the cross of Golgotha, where he sacrifices himself and sheds his blood, and therefore the writer of Hebrews, the apostle, encourages the children of God to come with bravery to the grace mercy seat, that we would receive grace and mercy when we need it. And related to this text here, this matter is still here. Very important, as Jesus spoke, "He that believeth on me," as the scripture has said, "out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." When a person gets and can own this living faith, and can be a spring of the living word of Jesus, he or she becomes a spring and can, to a believing friend or even unto an unbelieving person, can preach the gospel of forgiveness and to dip the living water. As the songwriter of The Journey writes, "Through the valley of tears, springs to one another, gives comfort to one another, to sisters and brothers." You travel friends there on the benches and in the service area, lodging area, you have these springs beside you. I think so, and I believe so, that even at these summer services, in the discussions between the people, we can be dipping or giving this water, sharing sorrows, and that if the enemy of the soul has wounded, we can dip from these springs, from these gospel springs, from one another to one another. When I remember this person of 70 years ago, in his poem he wrote, never cease the voice of the proclamation of the gospel and the comfort of the forgiveness of sins. Let it continue here at these services, and let it be present here. Temptations and sorrows, you can explain them to your travel friend, and it is true. The high priest is with us, that he was tempted like we all are, but nevertheless without sin. And for that reason, he can help those us here on the endeavor. And let us continue in faith to the mercy seat, that we would receive grace and mercy, and always find grace when we need help. Dear brothers and sisters, at this moment, this heavenly hunger and thirst, if you feel it in your heart, doubts and fears you feel, you can come to the living waters as you dip the living water. With an uplifted and encouraged heart, even now, you can remain believing. All your temptations and sorrows and sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and holy blood and precious atonement blood. This gospel is the power of God that can carry and transport us towards the glory of heaven. And my heart desires to hear this gospel. And therefore I ask, brothers and sisters, can I believe now, my sins forgiven? I want to believe with you. And you little boys and girls, and all children of God can uplift your hearts to believe. All your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. In Jesus' name, amen.